keeping women in the kitchen isn't always a great idea. Let's talk about it on Key Life. This is Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. And here's Steve Brown with God's Roadmap, the Bible. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's teaching was as beneficial to you and as life-changing to you as my pastor's was. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Judges. I'm going to wrap that up maybe the first part of this week. I may take my time and we'll take another week on Judges. Now, what we're doing, if you're just joining us, is that we're in the middle of an Old Testament survey. And in this Old Testament survey, I'm simply taking each book, becoming a tour director, and pointing out some of the highlights at that particular place, so that when you read that book for yourself, it will be hopefully more meaningful and more profound to you because of our study. We're looking at major themes in the different books in the Old Testament. We're looking at some of the verses, my favorite verses in each of the books, and we're starting in Genesis. We're up to the book of Judges, and we're going to go right on to the end of the Old Testament. I have suggested that if you get bored, or if I get bored with this, we'll stop for a while, do something else, and then come back to it, because I really feel constrained. If I were a little bit more spiritual, I would say led, but I feel constrained to do this study. It's our practice on Mondays, before we study the book, to go before the throne, so let's do that. Father, we're thankful that you found us, and sometimes we remember the way we were when there was no meaning, when we had no resource for forgiveness, when we weren't redeemed, when it hurt really bad. Sometimes, Father, that seems a long time ago, and it's hard to remember the emptiness and the hurt. So remind us about the place where you found us. And then, Father, remind us of home. Remind us that here we have no continuing city, but someday, sometime, someplace, you have prepared home for us. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. There's some people that have terrible wounds. There are others with scars. Remind us all that the scars are a sign of healing, of your faithfulness in our lives. Father, we praise you and we worship you, not just because of all the good stuff you have done for us, sending your Son to die on a cross in our place, meeting our needs, being sufficient for every circumstance, but we praise you because you're God, because you're awesome, because you're something else, because you're the creator and the sustainer of all that is, and you're worthy of our praise, aside from all of the other. And now, Father, as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches, forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're just joining us, we spent the last week or two looking at the book of Judges. We looked at some of the central themes in the book of Judges, who wrote it, why it was written, and what we're doing right now is simply going through the book of Judges, and I'm pointing out some of my favorite verses. So if you have your Bible, and if you're in a place where you can open it to the book of Judges, and I'm just a tour director now. I want to show you some things that I find quite interesting in this book. Turn first, if you will, to the fourth chapter of the book of Judges. The fourth chapter is an interesting book, chapter for a number of reasons, but I'm going to point out just one. Look at the third and fourth verse. It's the microphone. That pause came because of our producer, and he made a mistake. It certainly wasn't me. At any rate, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. So God found a man, a giant, to stand in the gap. It doesn't say that. Let me tell you what it says. For those of you who have a bent towards sexism, It says in the fourth verse, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadoth, was judging Israel at that time. In other words, when God needed somebody to really do something that was significant because God's people were in trouble, he found a woman. Now, I'm not going to draw any kind of big deal about this. I'm still a Neanderthal, and I don't believe in women's ordination, and I believe in the husband being the priest and the servant in the family. But I want you to know a lot of what we say is biblical, a lot of what we say is Orthodox Christianity, is sometimes just mere sexism. We say, keep them in the kitchen, that's all they can do. Let them teach the children, that's all they can do, and we make a horrible mistake. I think the issue is always one of authority and not of gifts. And we waste significant gifts of women in the church when we push women into places that we think, as men, are the only places they can serve. May God have mercy on our souls. I think I told you about a lady pastor in California. I was speaking at a church out there, and the staff, bigger than the church I was serving at the time. I mean, it was a big church. And they had a staff retreat during the middle of the Bible conference where I was the speaker. And we were on a yacht, as a matter of fact, out in the bay. And this woman, who was an associate pastor, came up to me, and she had the strangest look on her face. And she said, Steve, I just found out something about you, and I knew that whatever it was, it wasn't good. She said, I just found out you're in a denomination that doesn't ordain women. And I knew it was coming. And I said, yeah. And she said, that means that if you're in that denomination, you don't believe in the ordination of women either, do you? And I said, well, I wouldn't die on that hill, but, that's what I believe. And she said, and then she laughed. And she said, you know, you're the first person I ever met who didn't believe in the ordination of women, and I don't feel condemned. That was one of the highest compliments ever paid me. It probably was paid, or should have been paid, to my wife and my daughters, who spend considerable time sensitizing me to the reality of women's gifts in the church. And so I would suggest, for the male gender amongst us, that you take some time, go before the throne, and say, God, show me where I'm trying to be faithful, and show me where I'm just a twit. We're wasting so many gifts of so many women in the church. Well, by the way, did I tell you that Jill Briscoe said to me one time, I love Jill. She's one of the most godly people I have ever known, And I, in my way, was kidding her about, I don't know, about women or something. And she got really serious one time. She pointed at me and she said, Steve, women can't demand their rights in the church without violating the essence of their Christian faith. And then, like a prophet from the Old Testament, she said, so, it's up to you. Man, that haunts me sometimes. At night, just before I'm going to sleep. Well, enough about that. If you have your Bible, turn, if you will, over to the ninth chapter. Let me show you another site. I was just kind of looking over this the other day, and I thought, you know, we have this tendency to believe that we're the first generation that had to deal with political corruption. We always say, I sometimes go to Capitol Hill Blue, which is one of those websites, conservative websites that I like, kind of. Says, because nobody's life or property is safe while Congress is in session. That's their statement for their website. And I have a tendency to say, boy, Lord, it's really, really getting bad. Man, we've got politicians that are selling their souls and they're lying to us. As I record this, we've just gotten over an election, and President Bush is now going to be the president. Our Governor Bush has become, barring something happening that we don't know about, he is the president-elect. And so I've thought a lot about politics. I don't know about you, but I've been drawn like a magnet to radio and television. I mean, I say, I don't care about this stuff, and I'm not only going to watch one newscast during a day, And I find myself just standing there, going glassy-eyed, watching this stuff all the time. And I get angry at Republicans and Democrats and everybody else, and I get to thinking, you know, we are in a mess. God is going to have to come and do something important. I heard Bill Bright say one time, he said, you know, our problems are so bad that if there is no leader so great and so wise that he or she can lead us out of this morass. And then he grinned, and Bill said, but you know, if we had revival, a child could lead us. We could pick 10 people out of the phone book, and they could lead us out of this morass. But we have this tendency to think we're the generation where things are really bad. God never lets us do that, and that's one of the reasons he gave us the Bible. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it tomorrow, but Abimelech is a twit. And you can find him in the 9th chapter of Judges, and you can find the way he went about killing off his enemies, arranging himself to be the king, got himself in a position of power, and thought he was on top of the heap. But didn't turn out that way, because in the end, God balances the books. You think about that. Amen. Well, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Let me tell you how it works. Once you give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address, and ask to be a part of the Key Life Tape family. Thereafter, you start receiving tapes automatically every few weeks. We send out a tape every few weeks, and these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. But these are places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, generally in the chapel or at the Billy Graham Training Center or the Lake Barkley Fellowship. And we tape those and send that out to our Key Life Tape family, and they're absolutely free, without charge or obligation. So, let us know. Oh, by the way, if you can help us financially, man, I would sure appreciate it. When you help us, you help the hundreds of thousands of people to whom we send pieces of literature in free tapes. And you can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it as my thank you, I'll send you the cassette teaching What About the Past. Hey, I gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.